born again, who walked in the righteousness of God, who had been redeemed out of the world and for His righteousness, for His goodness. And they walked their life, they lived their life for the glory and the power of God. But they didn't see the city, they didn't see the promise, but they knew the promise of the city. And they worked and they lived and they loved that way. They loved in the middle of Christ because there was a promise. Amen? Because there was a promise, a city that they were looking for. And I found it here in the Old Testament, and it talks about this city. The city that is built up for God, the city that we, the saints of the Lord God, are looking forward to. Amen. I'm not looking for a city of this earth. I'm looking for the city that God has made, a city built without hands, that we have been redeemed for that. This word redeemed, even thinking of this, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Are you happy that you're redeemed? You sure don't look like it. Are you happy that you're redeemed? Amen. You ought to be exuding joy when you think of the word redeemed. When you think of being pulled out of death and darkness and brought into life and light. Amen. When you were just dying in your sin and had no real grasp of joy, and then you get to be born again and you are redeemed from the darkness, from hate, from the devil, from the enemy, and brought into the love and the power and the grace of Jesus Christ. I tell you what, church, we ought to be screaming hallelujah. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah to the King of Kings. Hallelujah and amen. Because He loves you in the middle of your darkness. He loved you when you were lost, when you didn't have a way to righteousness. He loved you and He bought you back and brought you into life. Man, I want you to be excited about redeemed. I want you to be excited. We're coming up. We just passed Thanksgiving. Were you really thankful? Were you thankful about the redemption of the blood of Jesus Christ? Man, if you weren't, it's time to get on fire today. We need to be on fire for Jesus Christ. Why? Because He redeemed us. He bought us back out of the death, out of darkness, by His blood, by His resurrection. He paid the price for your sin debt. You can, if you're not redeemed, you can be redeemed. And if you are redeemed, you ought to say so. Amen. You ought to say so. I am redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. I stand apart. I scream at the top of my heart, hallelujah, redemption, redemption. Today, life has started again. All who are redeemed ought to express this great joy, for your Redeemer liveth. Amen. For you are bought from death into life. I was looking up, what does redeemed really mean? Do you understand what redeemed means? I got an old dictionary. I like old dictionaries because the new dictionary really doesn't give it the word redeemed justice. The old dictionary I use is Webster's 1828. And I looked up this word redeemed. And it is, it's redeemed is to purchase back to ransom. To purchase back. In other words, think about this. You belonged to God way back when. Then something happened and you got separated from God. And then God says, I want to buy you back. You already belonged to Him. Do you know when that happened? In the beginning, God created man in His image. You belong to Him. Your forefather, your first daddy. Your daddy's daddy, 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 daddy. That guy, Adam, he belonged to God. He was God's man. But He sold out to sin. And we've been sold out to sin all the way until the cross of Jesus Christ. Amen? And He came and He paid the price on Calvary, to buy us back. It's not just to buy something, but to buy us back. He already created us. We were His in the beginning. Sin entered in and separated us from God. And then He bought us back. You were redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, redeemed, pulled back into His righteousness. It goes on to tell us that you are liberated or rescued from the captivity or from bondage. That's what Webster tells us, that you are rescued from the captivity or from bondage, to be free of any obligation or liability of sin. When you're redeemed, you're free from the obligation of sin. You're free from the liability of sin. When you are redeemed, you've been bought back from unrighteousness into righteousness. You are liberated from sin. You don't have to go that way anymore. Glory to God for that. Aren't you happy for the redemption of Jesus Christ? You don't have to go back. You don't need to go back there. He's calling us out of that. He says, in the same definition, you had to suffer, all right, or to be fortified to the repurchasing of what has been sold. Redeemed means that you are, to liberate or to rescue from captivity or from bondage. To free from an obligation or a liability, you had to suffer or to be forfeited to repurchase what has been sold. Okay? Reforfeited, F-O-R-F-E-I-T-E-D. Reforfeited? Forfeited. Okay. Forfeited. I put re there. You've been forfeited to repurchase what has been sold. So, He's repurchasing what was sold out to sin. That is what you are being rebought. Have you ever had to rebuy something that you already owned? Amen. You know, you had something that was stolen from you, okay, and it was brought to a pawn shop, and you had to go rebuy your merchandise. Had that happen? Have you ever had tools stolen? Right, and you find them at the pawn shop. Dude, that's my hammer. That's my toolbox. That's mine. Bond guy says, I really don't care who it belonged to. It's mine now. You got to rebuy that. You had to redeem that. It was yours. It got taken from you, and then you had to repurchase it. That's what redemption means. That's being redeemed in Christ Jesus. To regain the possession of the thing that was alienated from you by buying or repaying the value of the thing. That's what Webster's calls it. That is what redemption, what redeemed really is. And so now do you have an idea of what redeemed is? Amen. Now I'm going to start preaching, so let's go to the Lord. Dear Father, I thank You so much for Your goodness and grace. I thank You, Father, for the redemption of the purchased possession. I thank You, Father God, for bringing us into Your righteousness, for loving us so much that You went to find us to bring us back. God, I pray even now, Holy Spirit, come and let this church hear what the Spirit of God says to us. Let us know Your Word. Let us hold on to the truths that You have given us tonight, Lord. And I lift up my heart and my hands, Lord God. I pray that I would decrease, that You might increase, Lord Jesus, and that Your Word would be heard and not anything that I have written. And Lord, I thank You and I praise You for that. And we ask it in and through the blood and the power of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen. Praise God. In Job 19:25, Job understood this. He said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. Amen. Do you know that your Redeemer lives? Do you know that He is alive and well today? He's seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for who? For us. For you. For me. He's making intercession for us. Why? Because I am a sinner. I am a sinner. I come short of the glory of God. And I need to ask Him for forgiveness. How often? All the time, every day, we ought to be living in a continual state of prayer, living in a continual state of redemption, living in a continual state of gratitude to the One who bought me back from the One of whom I was sold out to. Amen. I need to be grateful for what He has done and live my life forward. And in that same verse, Job says, I know my Redeemer liveth, and He shall stand at the latter day, the latter time, the latter part. He will stand where? Upon the earth. Amen. So Job knew centuries before Christ was born, centuries before the cross happened. He knew way back then that there would come a time that the promised seed would come to the earth and that He would die for my sin and that He would ascend into heaven. And there He was making intercession. He was making a way back to God. He was making a way. And that there will come a day someday where Jesus Christ will stand on the earth. He will be here with us. He'll stand with us. He will be right here on this earth. And I know my Redeemer lives. I am sure my Redeemer lives. I am sure that not only that He lived back then, but He's alive today. And He's going to redeem us. Oh, do you believe that? Does your life show it? It's easy to sit here on church on Sunday morning and say, oh yeah, I believe that. How does it look on Monday? Do you believe that your Redeemer lives? Like Joe, are you sitting in a pile of ashes that was your house, scraping boils off with broken pieces of pottery and saying, I know my Redeemer lives? Oh, you think that if you believe it, y'all, it's all good and easy and stuff. No, believing your Redeemer lives has no outstanding on what your present predicament is. Job was in a bad way. He was hurting all over, but he knew that there was a day that he would end, that he would stand before God in glory, and that he had a hope, a pure found confidence that God would redeem him out of this mess we call the world. I have that same hope. I have that same belief. I got that same faith. And you can have it too. Do you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for you? Then you have a Redeemer in heaven. You believe it in such a way that you're willing to walk in the God-given rights that you have. The liberties that He gave you through the cross. The liberties that He bought you up from who you were to who you need to become. Do you believe that you will make it someday? Oh, then you're redeemed. If you don't believe that, you can be redeemed today. Good news. Good news. Good news. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses all sin. All sin. Do you believe it? Will you hold on to it? Will you live in it? Will you die in it? Will you live like you're going to die in it? Amen? There's a great faith I have in Jesus Christ. And after Job said in verse 26, and after my skin the worms have destroyed. Amen. After, even if I don't see it in my body, and my this skin, this tent drops down to the ground and the worms eat it. I don't care. I don't care about this tent. It's temporal. It's temporal. It doesn't hold on forever. This tent, this body, he said, in my flesh, I will see God. After my skin has dropped to the ground and the worms eat it, my body is consumed by the earth, my flesh shall see God because I am redeemed. This man, Job, he had a perfect grip on who his Redeemer is. Before the promise of God became flesh and paid the price of the purchased possession on a hill called Calvary, Job knew that there was a day coming where he would stand before God. Job had a faith that no matter what was happening today, he had a promise of a city built without hands. He had a promise that his Redeemer would come to this planet again and reclaim that which was his. Oh, praise God for that. It tells us in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3-7, blessed be the God and the Father. This is Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3-7. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus the Christ. I put the in there. Who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. Verse 4. According as He has chosen us in Him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Having, verse 5, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Christ Jesus unto Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the promise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Did you see that? Accepted in the Beloved. Verse 7. In whom? In the Beloved. In the Beloved we have redemption through His blood and the forgiveness of sin according to His riches and grace. Redeemed! Redeemed! How I love to proclaim it. Oh, I am redeemed by Jesus Christ. Yeah, and I have redemption. The full payment of my sin was done on Calvary. He paid for it all. He paid for all of it on Calvary. He wants us to walk in the promises of God. He wants us, remember, in that He told us to be holy too. You know, so this isn't just relying on something you cannot. He has, in verse 5, He has predestined us as the adoption of children by Christ Jesus in to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Who here doesn't feel like you're accepted in certain groups? Amen. I love that. It doesn't matter the groups of the earth. It really doesn't. When I said that, almost every hand went up. Do you know that you're accepted where it counts? If you're redeemed, you're accepted where it counts. Because it doesn't count here on this earth. Everything's going to burn away anyhow. This earth should have no hold on you. You are redeemed. You are loved in the beloved Son of God. If you have accepted Jesus Christ, if you've come to the place of Calvary and confessed your sin, Lord, save me. I'm a sinner. I cannot save myself. Heal me. I'm broken. I need your healing touch. Live in me because I cannot live without you. If you've come to that place in your life, then God says, redeemed. I have purchased you from the one who owns you. You were an enemy of God. Now you're a friend of God. You were a slave to the world, to Satan, to your flesh. And now you're free to the liberty and the grace and the power and the compassion of Jesus Christ. Oh, redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Oh, what great joy comes from inside because I know who I am. I am accepted with all of my flaws. While I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. Oh, I didn't get better to come to God. I came to God and He made me better. I came to Jesus. I was broken. I had nothing to offer Him but this worthless carcass that the worms are going to eat. And He says, I love you. Let me buy you out of that and give you a hope that I'll store up in heaven. Let me give you a hope that I'll have something for you on that day. Let me give you a hope in me, in Christ, not a hope of my works, not a hope in anything, not faith in my faith, but a faith in Christ Jesus. Oh, all of humanity, all of humankind has been sold into sin. And we have been held captive until God calls us and we answer. That's a very important and part. Because God is always calling. God has not stopped calling mankind to come back to Him ever since they fell. Even in the Garden of Eden, when Adam opened his eyes and walked into sin, when God came in, there was these cries coming out to Adam. Adam, Adam, where are you? Not because God didn't know where He was. He wanted to reconnect. Something has separated our relationship. Adam, the relationship, I used to come every day to in the garden in the cool of the evening, and me and you, we would commune together. I came from heaven to spend time with you. You are loved in the beloved. I want to have that back. Oh, but sin ripped that away from mankind and separated it for thousands of years. He gave us the law to show us that we couldn't be good enough to get back. Adam thought he could be good enough by sewing some fig leaves together and hiding his sin underneath nature. God said, that's not good enough, Adam. It's not good enough. Here's what I'm going to have to do. I'm going to have to take the blood of innocence to temporarily cover your sin. So He took an animal. It doesn't say what kind of animal. I would think that it was a lamb. It doesn't say lamb in the Bible, so this is just my thought. He took the most sweet, precious, innocent animal that He could find, and He killed it and covered man's unrighteousness with the innocent blood. And He said, hey, Adam, this is a picture of what's going to happen thousands of years down the road. This is just a temporary covering. You're going to have to come back to me over and over and over again with the blood of goats and ox and sheep and doves and all that. You're going to have to do this over and over and over again. But there's coming a day, I promise you, a seed that will come from the woman. I promise you, I will come and I will make things right. I promise you, I will send a Redeemer and He will touch your iniquity and He will heal you from your sin and He will call you back into a love relationship with me that is real and personal, can never be broken. Will you hold on, Adam, till that day? Will we hold on until that day? Oh, yeah. God always calls out. He's calling out all the time. Just as if you had lost a child. Have you ever been, Black Friday just went around. I hope that nobody went, but the folks who did go went out there in that mess, that heap of humanity that was out there. And I'm not saying anything bad about it. What I'm saying, imagine you were there and you lost your child. How often would have you called for it? Would it have just been once? Hey, Joey, where are you? Huh? Joey didn't answer. I'm leaving. No. How often would have you called for that child in that mass of humanity? Over and over, all through the day you would have called, right? All through the night you would have called. All through the wilderness you would have called. You would have went to the parking lot. You would have examined the tapes. Where was the last time I saw him? You would have checked in between all of the clothing things that are in the mall. You would have went everywhere to find that child. You would have never stopped seeking that child until you found it. Amen? Right? Wouldn't you do that? You would do whatever it took. In fact, you would have, if you found out that he was abducted by somebody, you would have paid the highest price, no matter what it was. You would have laid your life down for that child, right? All right, listen, criminal, you want me? Come and take me, cut my throat, whatever it takes. Give me my child. Bring that child back to me. Let me redeem it. That's what God did for you. He said, you are lost. You're lost without me. Sin had come and pulled you away. I don't know what day it was, but I'm sure it was a black day. When sin entered in and death entered in through sin, that was a black day. It was a Black Friday. And we were lost. We were ripped away from a relationship with the Father. And he said, I will call on you every day. I will call for you every day. I will let you know that there is a day that the Redeemer will come and he'll make a way where there appears to be no way. He will pave a road where there is no road today. He will bathe you a scarlet thread from Genesis to the Revelation of God calling people and asking people and begging people and reaching out to people. Will you come to me? Will you know me? Will you worship me? Will you rest inside of me? Will you believe that there's a Redeemer that lives? Will you make that choice? Oh, all that stuff about your kid. All that stuff. It tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20 that you are bought with a price. Amen. Are you happy? God bought you with a price. You are no longer your own. You are bought through the blood of Jesus Christ. You were bought with the most expensive gift ever known to man. The most precious price was paid for you. That price was the perfect blood of God Himself. Do you ever think about that? That Jesus was God Himself? Jesus was God manifested in flesh to live and to die for your sin and for mine? For God so loved the world that He gave the very best, His own flesh, His own blood, to die for my unrighteousness, my sin, the sin of my father's 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 father, the sin that started with Adam all the way down. He came to die for all of that, to pour out, willingly pour out His blood for my unrighteousness. Glory to God. Glory to God for His righteousness, for His goodness. We have been bought with the price, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. In that same verse, therefore, because of that great price. That's what the there is for. Amen. Therefore, because of that great price, glorify God in all your body. And in your spirit, which means you belong to God. If you've been redeemed and you belong to God, you are no longer your own. You don't do what you want to do. You know, Jesus didn't do what He wanted to do. Well, He wanted to do the will of the Father. But Jesus said, I only do the things that I see the Father doing. I only do the things that I was sent to do. I came to seek and to save that was lost. I came to redeem a lost world into my righteousness, into the righteousness of the Father. And all He's asking us to do is our very best for Him. To live a life that glorifies God. Glorify God. And how much of your body starts in A and ends in two L's? All. All. And I don't know much Greek, but I know this in Greek. All means all. It doesn't mean 95%. It doesn't mean 99%. It means 100% of you. Give it to God. Who here says that they've been married and they put in 50%?
I'm married, I'll give 50%.
Well, if you're only giving 50%, you're only doing half of what you ought to do. When you are married, you give 100%. All of you belongs to that person. All of that person belongs to you. We'll give 50 and 50 and make 100%. Your math is messed up. You're living in the world's math. A marriage that goes 50-50, let me tell you folks, is a marriage bound for hell. It's bound for destruction. It's bound for divorce. It's all in or all out. I know that messes up some theology here because you listen to the world. The world says, just do half your best and that's good enough. No, the Bible says you give all. You live your life, all of your life, to glorify God. You were bought from bondage of sin and of death. You were snatched from the bowels of hell itself. Just in time, God called you to come, holding out His hand, His offer to you, and you can be redeemed with peace with God. You don't have to be an enemy of God anymore. Christian, if you're living a halfway relationship with God, repent of the other half that's dead and come to a full life of Jesus. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ at all as your Lord and Savior, repent and come into the full knowledge of God. Stop being a wishy-washy Christian, and if you've never trusted Jesus Christ, take a walk on the light side. Amen. Walk into the light as He is in the light. Right? Walk into the righteousness of God. Stop being mealy mouth about your relationship with God. Let the redeemed say so. Let the redeemed live so. Let the world know that you have a Redeemer. And you know your Redeemer lives. Colossians 1:20 through 22, or I'm going to start in 19. For it pleased the Father that in Him, in Christ, should all the fullness dwell. The fullness of the Godhead dwelled in Jesus Christ. The fullness of God was in Christ Jesus. Verse 20, and He hath made peace through the blood of His Christ by Him to reconcile us. You were just a wreck before, right? Your life was a mess. You were a wreck. You had no life at all. You were lost, dead, and dying and going to hell. And God redeemed you to reconcile you, to fix the broken and make it right. You've been reconciled. You're rebuilt. Live like it. Give your whole heart to Jesus Christ. All of you. All of me. Reconcile's definition means to come back into a union. Oh, in the garden, was there not a union with Adam, with Eve, with God? There was a union there, a oneness, a togetherness. That was, oh, it was so sweet and rich and full. Then the separation came in, sin walked in, and that relationship was torn. But over the millennia, God said, if you'll believe me, if you'll walk with me, then you can be right with me. Abraham believed God. He walked in faith, he walked by faith, and he was considered a friend of God. He was righteous before God, not because of the works that he did, but because he believed in the redemption of Jesus Christ. He believed in the redemption of God the Father. He believed that there was a time that these things would be made right. Being reconciled into one union, placed back into order. I like that. I like things in order. I really do. If you don't believe me, go to my sock drawer. My socks are in really good order. There's other places in my life that are out of order, okay? But there are places in my life that are in order. My laundry is one of those. Outside of that, it's out of order. And it's not that I worship my clothes. Don't get me wrong. It's just one of those things that was beat into me as a kid. You know, this goes here, that goes there, this goes the other. Up until I got married, in my cabinets, everything was in order. All my tomato soup was in a row and it all faced the outside. All of that was in order, but then I got married and it didn't matter nearly as much anymore. There's tomato soup in there somewhere. You'll find it. You know. But God calls us to live a life of order. Not ordered in my footsteps, but in order into His. It means to be reconciled, means to be brought into fellowship. From a state of disagreement into a state of agreement. From an enemy that is brought in close. It is a renewal of friendship. That's what reconciled means. He wants to reconcile with you. That reconciliation only comes through redemption. You cannot be reconciled with God without a full redemption of God. All things, it tells us, all things to Himself. Jesus brought all things to Himself. By Him, by Christ, I say, whether they be things of the earth, the things of in the heaven, verse 21, and you that were of the same time, at some time you were alienated and you were enemies in your mind by the wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled, brought together, amen, made right with Him. He reconciled you in the body of His flesh through His death. Without the shedding of blood, without the death of Jesus Christ, there is no remission of sin. Without blood, there is no remission of sin. That tells us that in Hebrews. It also tells us in Colossians 22 and part B, through His death, amen? As Jesus freely gave His life as a payment for our sin, the sinless, perfect, innocent paying the price of the world. In John 3:16, we all know that, for God so loved the world, right, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting or eternal life, everlasting life. You ought to have it because He paid it. He paid the price. You are bought. You can be redeemed by Jesus Christ. He paid the price for your sin debt. The question is, do you believe that? See, all that sounds real good, doesn't it? Wow, He paid the price. He paid the price. And see, we can go through Colossians, all those verses, and skip 23. 23 is probably the most important out of all that stuff that He said. Now, not that the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ was of no importance. That's not what I'm saying. But it says in verse 23, if, amen, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. You can be redeemed if you don't walk away. There is a redemption that holds on. When you say this sounds like a gospel of works, well, it's not. You're not saved by works. You're saved by faith, by grace through faith. That's how you're saved, and I believe that. That's the redemption. But you need to hold on to that. You need to hold on to the gospel of Jesus Christ. You need to hold on to the works of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because I don't want to stand, I don't even want to come close to the border, amen? I don't want to get by that place where God said, don't eat of that tree, don't eat of that fruit, don't do that. I don't want to be close to there. I'm going to do my best to stay far away from that sin lifestyle and live in the righteousness of God I can. Just because you have a liberty to do something, does that mean that you should? No. God says, listen, folks, you need to, if you continue, if you stay in the faith, if you're grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, all this great promise of renewal, of redemption, of reconciliation, of the remission of sin is held in Christ. If you continue to walk with God, being grounded and pressed together, molded, conformed into the likeness of Jesus Christ, reshaped, my greatest hope is that the grinding of the gospel. My greatest hope is being to be ground, to be pressed into the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't want to be pressed into the image of the world. I don't want to be pressed into the image of my children or of my wife or of my car or of my lawn. When people look at me, I don't want them to say, wow, what a spiffy dresser he was. Wow, I love the way he kept his teeth brushed. I don't want to hear that. That's not a big thing. What I want to hear is he looked like Jesus Christ. He lived like Jesus Christ. He loved like Jesus Christ. He held on to the remission of his sin. He held on to the reconciliation. He held on to the promises of God. He held on to being redeemed until the day of the purchase of the possession. He held on to that. He lived. He exuded Jesus Christ. That's what I want to. That's all that I want out of this world. When people look at me, that they don't see me, that they see Jesus Christ. Why? Because I am redeemed. I'm no longer my own. See, in my old life before Christ, I wanted people to know that I was an excellent floor coverer. I was a floor man. Many of y'all may or may not know that. For 30 plus years. I want people not to remember me that I was a good journeyman in floor covering. I want people to know that I love God and I held on to the promises of God. My vocation doesn't matter. My location absolutely matters. And I want to be located in the redemption of Jesus Christ. That's where I want to be located, redeemed. And I love to proclaim it. We need to hold on to the truths of God's Word. We need to hold on to His righteousness. It tells us this is great. Right? Do you want other people to know about Him also? Do you want other people to know? Let the redeemed say so. Okay? To every creature, this is Romans chapter 10, verses 14 and 15. To every creature, we must live and preach this redeeming grace, calling to others the reconciliation of Christ Jesus. How can they call upon Him in whom they have not believed? How can they call on Him whom they have not believed? How can they call on Christ if they don't see Christ in you? How can they call on Him if they don't believe in Jesus Christ? And how shall they believe on Him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Amen? Did you hear what He's saying about the reconciliation, about the redemption, about the remission? What He's telling us there, He's saying that I am sending you out to go and be the hands and the feet of Jesus wherever you go. Live a life of redemption. Live a life of reconciliation. Live a life of being redeemed in Christ Jesus. You are being sent out to preach the gospel. How will they know if you don't go? How will they know if you don't live it? How will they know if you, a Christian, don't exude a faith in Jesus Christ? Wishy-washy Christians, man. We got to stop. We got to stop. We got to get real. You got to be real with Christ. You got to stop being half in the world and half in the gospel. You know what Jesus called that? Vomit. He called that vomit. That's what He thinks about that. You're half in Christ and half in the world. He says that's vomit. I would prefer that you be hot or cold, but since you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. I will vomit you. King James says vomit. I like that word better. It's a lot like spitting. It's like, you ever taste the most horrible taste that you can think of? I don't know, something really, really bitter, like a green persimmon. Anyone ever bite into one of those? Oh man, if you ever do, you'll never do it twice. Okay, a green persimmon is the most bitter, jaw-sucking thing I think I've ever tasted in my life. You bite into that, and I mean your teeth, they just grind. You can't spit it out fast enough. That's what God does to a lukewarm Christian. Half in the world, half out the world. He said, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Let the redeemed say so. 1 John 3:16. Hereby perceive we, or understand we, the love of God, because He laid down His life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Amen. Hereby, because God loved us so much that He sent His only begotten Son, He laid down His life for us. We ought to do it for each other. We need to live a life of redemption. Now, since God through Christ, He laid down His life, His will to do only the will of the Father, and in that is to seek and to save the lost. That's what Jesus came to do, right? To seek and to save the lost. He always preached the kingdom of heaven, right? When Jesus Christ was preaching, what did He preach? The kingdom. He was not concerned about this world. He was concerned about the kingdom. What are we concerned about? Is our heart set for the redemption? Do you know that your Redeemer lives? And that when this flesh lies down and worms eat it and it decays, that there's coming a day that your Redeemer will stand on this earth and you will see Him in your flesh? That He's going to open up the books and the dead are going to be judged out of those books? And then He's going to open up another book, which is the book of life? And if you're not found in that book, you're going to be cast out. If you don't hold on to the redemption, if you don't hold on to the grace of Jesus Christ, if you don't cling to God with all you are, if you don't cling to the blood of Jesus Christ, you will be spewed out into utter darkness. Folks, I'm telling you, the church got to get right. We're going to have communion in a few minutes. It tells us in Galatians 4, in verse 3 and 4, when we were children in bondage under the elements of the world, catch that. When you were the child under the elements of the world, you were before you knew Christ, you did what felt good, right? You were underneath the bondage of the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons or children of His. God came for you. God came for all humankind. He came wrapped in flesh to be tempted in every way that you are. So it tells us in Hebrews, we don't have a high priest who does not understand. He understands what you're going through. Jesus cares. He knows what it's like to be rejected by your brother, and He knows what it's like to be cold and to be hungry. He knows what it's like to be left alone, to die on your own on a cross. He understands that because He lived it. He said, let the redeemed say so. Because I did all this for you, the least you can do is trust me. That's the least you can do, is to live a life set apart for His glory and grace. Never let it be said you didn't do the least you could do. Amen? Cliff, would you pass out the communion? As Jesus was preparing His life and His body to be poured out, it was the Last Supper that Jesus was going to have on this earth. And He said, for I have received of the Lord, which I also delivered unto you. Guess what He delivered unto them? Redemption. God delivered redemption. He said, I received the power of redemption from the Father. I'm going to give that to you. It's a new covenant that's written in my blood. By my broken body, I'm going to redeem you to the Father. For what I have received of the Lord, that I also deliver unto you, that the Lord Jesus, that same night that He was betrayed, He took bread. And so, if you got your little thingy, you can go ahead and open it up. There, you'll find a little wafer on this. Some religions will tell you that this is indeed the body of Christ. This is to help us to remember the body of Christ. Amen? This here is not the body of Christ. This is to remember the body of Christ. What He did for us on Calvary to redeem us. How He was bruised for our transgression. How He was beaten because of my sin. The price that He paid is remembered in this little wafer right here. It was His body that was broken for me. He told his disciples, and He gave thanks for it. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank You for redemption. Thank You, Father, for paying my sin debt. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for being broken for my iniquity. Thank You, Father God, for Your goodness. He lifted the bread and He broke it. He divided it with His disciples and He said, take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's take the bread together. Oh, how He loves you and me. Oh, the love of God for me. He went under the scourging for my sin to redeem us. And on the same manner, He took the cup which He had sopped in. He said, this is the cup of the New Testament in my blood, and do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so he blessed the cup. He lifted it before the Lord and he said, "Father, remember this, the redemption by the blood." And he prayed the Father would bless it and he would bless the sacrifice. And as we lift this before the Lord, I pray that your soul is made right with God today, that you are living, desiring to be redeemed by Him. Father, thank you for shedding your blood on the cross for the redemption of my sin. Thank you, Father, for setting apart your work for the righteousness of God. Thank you, Father, for cleansing me of all unrighteousness. And we ask this in Jesus' name as we take the cup together. At the end of both of those things, he said, "Do this in remembrance of me. Do this because he redeemed you. Think of what he paid. And all he asked of us is to walk with him in the fullness of life. To know him, the one true God that was set apart." I pray that today that you've heard the Spirit speak to you. I'm going to offer to you real quick, if you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, today's the day. This is the day of salvation for you. I can't promise you your next breath. I can't promise you one more step foot. I can't promise you one more heartbeat. I can promise you this, that there's a judgment. I promise you this, that if you die outside of Christ, that you will be cast out into utter darkness. If you die and you're not redeemed, after you heard a message about redemption, you will stand before God on your own terms. And on your own terms, you'll be found wanting. So if you want to trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, hear what the preacher says. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in your heart and you shall be saved. Because with confession, remission or repentance is brought out. You confess it, you believe it. You confess it everywhere. You let the redeemed say so. You accept the Lord. You confess the Lord before the lost. You believe in your heart about the day of redemption. You'll be saved. You walk in the righteousness of God. You'll be saved. My faith is held in Jesus Christ and His righteousness and nothing else. You put your faith in that. And God says, "I'll save you. On the day of judgment, I will set you on the side. I will bring you to the right side where the sheep are kept, not to the left side where the goats are cast out." You can have redemption in Jesus Christ today. Confess and believe. If you're a Christian, born again, and you're faking it, you're just a Christian on Sunday or on Thursday, the rest of the time you're not, today is the day of salvation for you. This is the day. This is the time right now to make things right with God. Don't be vomit. Don't be half in and half out. And don't think the church doesn't get judged. People, you do. We will. You need to set your mind today. Do you believe? Do you live like you believe? Have you no fear of God? Church, I'm not talking to the unsaved here. I'm talking to those who claim the blood of Jesus Christ and live like there is no God. You're doing great harm to the gospel. People want to know that there's hope, that there's a real living hope. And you're it. Not that you are the conduit. You are the hands and the feet of God. You are the church of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit dwells in you. Let the redeemed say so. Say it in your conduct. Say it in your conversation. Say it in every aspect of your life. I am begging you to make up your mind today to serve God. I want to see you there. And it's not by works that you've done. That's not what gets you right with God. It is a belief in Jesus Christ. Do you agape Him? Hear, O Israel, the Lord God is one God. You will worship Him with 50%. That's not what the Bible says. With all of you, with every ounce of your body, with everything that's in you, follow God. I love you. Let the redeemed say so. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you for your word today. I thank you, Father God, for the moving of the Spirit. I thank you, Father God, for the redemption. I thank you, Father God, for the payment for our sin. I thank you, Father God, for the ability to come before you and confess my sin, that you are faithful and just to forgive me of that sin. Thank you, praise you, Abba, Father. I give you glory. My hope is in you today, Lord Jesus. Father, I pray that you have sent your Holy Spirit. I thank you. I thank you for sending your Holy Spirit, for touching hearts today, for moving in our minds and bringing our lives into line with what the Word of the Gospel says. And I praise you for that. Father, help us to be holy and set apart for your good works. Lord, we just want to rest in you, and we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. We're going to have a closing hymn.